Srimad Bhagavatam ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishidu and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 6, verse number 28. Prayujyamane mahitam Shuddham Bhagavatim Tanum Arabdha Karma Nirvana Nyapatat Pancha Bhautika Prayujyamane mahitam Shuddham Bhagavatim Tanum Arabdha Karma Nirvana Nyapatat Pancha Bhautika. Please chant.
Prayujyamane mahitam
Shuddham Bhagavatim Tanum
Shuddham Bhagavatim Tanum
Shuddham Bhagavatim Tanam Arabdham Kanam Nirvana Nyapatat Panchabhotika Prayujyamane Mahitam Shuddham Bhagavatim Tanam Prayujyamane, having been, okay, we can all do it together. Prayujyamane, having been awarded, mayi, on me, tam, that, shuddham, transcendental, bhagavatim, fit for associating with personality of Godhead, tanum, body, arabdha, acquired, karma, rooted work, nirvanaha, prohibitive, Nyapata, quit, pancha bhotika, body made of five material elements. Having been awarded a transcendental body befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body made of five material elements, and thus all acquired fruit results of work, karma, stop. Purport. Informed by the personality of Godhead that he would be awarded a transcendental body befitting the Lord's association, Narada got his spiritual body as soon as he quitted his material body. This transcendental body is free from material affinity and invested with three primary transcendental qualities, namely eternity, freedom from material bodies, and freedom from reactions or fruitive activities. The material body is always afflicted with the lack of these three qualities. A devotee's body becomes at once surcharged with the transcendental qualities as soon as he is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. It acts like the magnetic influence of a touchstone upon iron. The influence of transcendental devotional service is like that. Therefore, change of the body means stoppage of the reaction of three qualitative modes of material nature upon the pure devotee. There are many instances of this in the revealed scriptures. Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj and many other devotees were able to see the personality of Godhead face to face, apparently in the same body. This means that the quality of a devotee's body changes from material to transcendence. That is the position of the authorized Goswamis. That is the opinion of the authorized Goswamis via the authentic scriptures. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that beginning from the Indra-Gopa germ up to the great Indra, King of Heaven, all living beings are subjected to the law of karma and are bound to suffer and enjoy the fruitive results of their own work. Only the devotee is exempt from such reactions by the causeless mercy of the supreme authority, the personality of Godhead. So this morning, seems like the same theme is continuing about leading the body. Even in the last purport, Brahma Prabhu was giving class and described that, and for the pure devotee, such a change takes place exactly like lightning. Lightning and illumination follow simultaneously. Here also, here we're continuing the same theme. And Srila Prabhupada is saying here, which I want to concentrate my class today on, the change, Srila Prabhupada writing the purport here, change of the body means stoppage of the reaction of three qualitative modes of material nature upon the pure devotee. Then he's giving examples of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. He says, many other devotees saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, apparently in the same body. This means that the quality of a devotee's body changes from material to transcendence. So I thought, let's look at Dhruva Maharaj. Prabhupada is giving an example of Dhruva Maharaj. So I'd like to explore what was Dhruva Maharaj's life like. Prabhupada says he's an example of somebody who had seen face to face, and he also says the body changes from material to transcendence. So let's look at Dhruva Maharaj's life. I'm not going to tell the storyline. Everybody is aware of the storyline, and those who are not, hopefully they'll be curious enough to go and read the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And those who have already read it many times, hopefully they'll also be curious to read it again to further themselves explore what it means to change the body from material to transcendence. So Dhruva Maharaj, as we know, he was a Kshatriya. And the very first time we see his real Kshatriya qualities, his nature, which is full of emotions, is after he was struck by the strong words of his stepmother. Describes, I think that gentleman is describing, that he began to breathe very heavily because of great anger. So these are important, that what I'm going to be saying is, every point is important to see what he was like before, and then I'm going to concentrate on what he was before, how he was right after he got the mercy of Krishna, and then afterwards what happened in his life. So, yes, he was breathing very heavily because of great anger. It also describes that his lips were trembling in anger. So you can imagine how angry he was. He was just a five-year-old boy, but his Kshatriya blood was so running hot in there. His lips were trembling in anger. And then when he comes to his own mother, his mother tells him to stop his envious attitude. But Dhruva Maharaj could not do that. But he did hear the other instructions that his mother told him, is to please try to execute the instructions of your stepmother. In other words, go to the forest and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he did that. Then you understand that Narada Muni, when he went to Madhavan and he meets Narada Muni there, and Narada Muni tells him, listen, little boy, you're only 5 years old. You know, what are you doing? The path that you're taking is very difficult. So you should just go back home, tolerate whatever your stepmother has said. He says, why are you so affected by words insulting your honor? He says, Narada continues, says, the process of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very wonderful. One who is intelligent should accept that process and be satisfied in whatever comes favorable or unfavorable by his supreme will. So whatever has happened to you, just accept that as the supreme will. But Dhruva Maharaj, as we all know, he said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm feeling very angry, and your words are not having any effect on me. So kindly, give me a path that will, he says, kindly advise me of an honest path to follow by which I can achieve the goal of my life. Although we know that Prabhupada writes in the purport that Narada was inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to go and speak to Dhruva Maharaj, and he was just testing him. In other words, it was a test of Dhruva Maharaj's determination, and that's why he was just saying, okay, go back. But really, he wanted him to perform this, at least it seems like in Prabhupada, the same like that, that it was a test. So he wanted Guru Maharaj to go and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narada Muni gives him the path and what to do. He gives this elaborate description. And so Guru Maharaj follows that very difficult austerity he performs as a 5-year-old boy. And he finally gets darshan. So that was before what I just described was what was happened to Guru Maharaj before he had darshan. So this is now we're talking about when he gets the darshan. So Guru Maharaj finally gets the darshan, and you know, Krishna touched Guru Maharaj with his conch, and he was able to say beautiful prayers. After he describes the beautiful prayers to Lord Vishnu, Krishna says, he gives him benediction. He says, I also know, it's important to hear what Krishna is saying here. He says, I also know the desire within your heart. Although your desire is very ambitious, and what was his desire? Anybody remembers what his desire? That's right, he wanted to have a kingdom greater than his grandfather. He says, so although your desire is very ambitious and very difficult to fulfill, I shall favor you with this, with its fulfillment. Prabhupada writes in the purport that he encouraged Dhruva not to be worried that he childishly had material desires and at the same time had the pure aspiration to be a great devotee. So it's all right. If you have desire, that's fine. You're ambitious, that's fine. But you also have the desire to be a great devotee, so both those will be fulfilled. And then he tells him, he also gives him benediction that at the time of your death, you'll be able to remember me. And he tells him many other things. So immediately now we see what happens with Dhruva Maharaj immediately after he gets face-to-face darshan with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again here, reminding what Srila Prabhupada is saying. There are many instances of this in revealed scriptures like Dhruva Maharaj who were able to see Personality of Godhead face-to-face. This means the devotee's bodies, quality of the devotee's bodies changes from material to transcendence. So let's see what happens to Dhruva Maharaj. After he had darshan of Krishna, Maitreya Muni says, despite having achieved the desired result of his determination by worshipping the Supreme Lord, Dhruva Maharaj was not very pleased. He was simply, and why was he, Vidura asked him, why was he not pleased? He had darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Why was he not pleased? And Maitreya Muni says, because he was simply ashamed of the material demands he had in his mind. Now, Prabhupada writes in the purport that as soon as he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, he immediately became conscious of the unimportance of his demand from the Lord to have an exalted position better than Lord Brahma's. So he became conscious of the unimportance. Further, Dhruva Maharaj greatly lamented his propensity for ruling the material world. So he was a kshatriya, he had a desire to rule over the material world, like the body that he has been given, but he lamented about that. And he did, Guru Maharaj further, but that's interesting to hear what he, this is after he has seen face to face Krishna. This is Guru Maharaj's thoughts that Maitreya Muni is just writing here, describing to Vidura. He's saying, since all the demigods, so he's lamenting his propensity. It's like, why did I do this? Why did I desire this? I wish I hadn't desired that. But then he says, since all the demigods who are situated in the higher planetary system will have to come down again, they're all envious of my being elevated to Vaikuntha Loka by devotional service. These intolerant demigods have dissipated my intelligence, and only for this reason could I not accept the genuine benediction of the instructions of Sage Narada. So it's interesting how Guru Maharaj is thinking. And what instruction is he thinking that he could not accept? These are the instructions that he was feeling. Prabhupada writes in the purport, Srila Prabhupada agrees with what Guru Maharaj is saying there, and he says, the instructions that Narada Muni had asked him, why should you bother about insult or adoration from your stepmother? He, of course, this is from the purport, he of course said to Guru Maharaj that since Guru Maharaj was only a child, what did he have to do with such insult or adoration? But Guru Maharaj was determined to achieve the benediction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guru Maharaj regretted that he had rejected the advice of Narada Muni and was adamant in asking for something perishable, namely revenge against his stepmother for her insult and possession of the kingdom of his father. So I thought that was very interesting. I never knew that, but when I was preparing for the class, I'm like, that's very amazing that that's how he was feeling. And he was feeling like that towards the demigods. And he further laments, he says, how unfortunate I am. For in spite of meeting the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Lord, who can cut one's link with birth and death, I have prayed for same conditions again. So it's interesting that it seemed like, although he was conscious, Prabhupada wrote earlier, I read, that he was conscious of his uselessness, of his desire, of the unimportance of wanting to rule the world. But it seems like he still had prayed, he had desired, and that was his Kshatriya body, that he desired for the same conditions again. Prabhupada specifically writes there again, although I didn't see that in the word-to-word. So this is what has happened right after. And then we know that he went, and he described that when he went back to his back to the kingdom, he paid obeisances to both the mothers. So you can see this, his heart was purified. He didn't have that envy. And he was free from all contamination of material desires. So this is the second part where I said immediately what happens to Guru Maharaj after he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. What was his consciousness? Where was he? What was he thinking? The different points that I described. So now we're going to fast forward. We're talking about he's already liberated and what happens in his life ahead. So when he went back and in time, his father Uttanapad, he went to the forest and he asked Guru Maharaj to rule the kingdom. And his younger brother Uttama, he went one time hunting and he was killed by one of the yakshas. So when Uttama was killed by the yakshas, when Guru Maharaj heard of his killing, Maitreya Muni describes that Guru Maharaj was being overwhelmed with lamentation and anger. he got on his chariot and went out for victory over the city of the Yakshas. So he was overwhelmed with lamentation and anger. Now Prabhupada says in the purport that Guru Maharaj is becoming angry, overwhelmed with grief, and envious of the enemies was not incompatible with his position as a great devotee. So, not describing the fighting scene, but basically Guru Maharaj goes there and he fights with the Yakshas, and he fights very fearlessly. And he basically kills so many Yakshas, and describes that the remaining Yakshas, who somehow or other were not killed, had their limbs cut to pieces by the arrows. So he killed so many, and the remaining, he cut their limbs to by his cut to pieces. And whatever, and those people, those Yakshas that were, their limbs were cut, I guess they began to flee, just as elephants flee when defeated by a lion. So this is what Guru Maharaj did. He was so overwhelmed with lamentation and anger. After he did that, he, you know, desired to see the beautiful place, Alkapuri, because it was a well-known place. But at that stage, some of the Yakshas, they have the power of mystic. They have mystic power. And so due to mystic power, all kinds of things started happening, and Guru Maharaj was overwhelmed, overpowered. And so at that time, it doesn't describe what great sages, but it says the great sages heard that Guru Maharaj was overpowered by the illusory mystic tricks of the demons. And they immediately assembled to offer him auspicious encouragement. And then as soon, so the sages came to his rescue. And at that time, Guru Maharaj joined his Narayana Astra arrow to his bow, and the illusion that was created by the Yakshas was gone. And after that, Guru Maharaj saw the Yakshas coming forward. He immediately took his arrows and cut the enemies to pieces. So again, a fight is going on. And he goes on a real rampant there. So bad that Swayambhuva Manu, his grandfather, he came. And he started giving him some advice. He said, you know, Swayambhuva Manu, Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, this kind of wholesale attack is not approved by Manu, the father and the lawgiver of human race. He meaning Swayambhuva Manu, therefore wanted to stop his grandson, Dhruva, from continuing to kill the Yaksha citizens who were not offenders. And Manu said to him, it is not good to become unnecessarily angry. It is the path to hellish life. Now you're going beyond the limit by killing the Yakshas, who are actually not offenders. So we see that Manu was not kind of happy with things, how things were going. But Prabhupada writes in response to that, he writes that in this verse, the word ati roshena means with unnecessary anger. When Guru Maharaj went beyond the limits of necessary anger, his grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu, immediately came to protect him from further sinful action. So in other words, when Prabhupada is writing further sinful action, in other words, he had performed some sinful action, and he wanted him to stop from doing further sinful action. And then there's a whole thing about how Swayambhuva Manu preaches to Guru Maharaj. It was like almost he was teaching him Bhagavad Gita. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches Arjun. He's trying to have Arjun to fight. He's encouraging Arjun to fight, and he gives different reasons why he should fight. Manu he also teaches in the Bhagavad Gita and giving different reasons why he should stop fighting. It's amazing. Bhagavad Gita is just amazing. You can be used to fight or not to fight, you know. But so he gives him, he said, hey, this is not good. You know, it's not good for our family. It does not befit our family that you're acting that way. You should be very much affectionate towards your, I mean, it's good that you have proved that you are very affectionate towards your brother, but, you know, killing so many others who are innocent, that's not good. You should not accept the body as a self. And then he describes, then he tries to encourage him by showing that he is a devotee, and he says, you know, it is very difficult to achieve what you achieved when you were young. But you're so fortunate that you're already destined to go to the abode of Krishna. Why are you acting like that? You're a pure devotee. The Lord is always thinking of you, and you're also recognized by his all of his confidential devotees. Your life is meant for exemplary behavior. He says, Sambhu Manu says, I'm therefore surprised. Why have you taken such an abominable task? And then he says, the Lord is very satisfied when his devotee, when the devotee greets other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. And then he preaches him to him in another way. He says, my dear son, those yakshas, they're not actually the killers of your brother. Birth and death of every living entity are caused by the Supreme. So he's the cause of all causes. So he is preaching to Dhruva Maharaj, who is a liberated soul. He says that. Sambhuma reminds him, he says, at the age of only 5 years, you very boldly gave up the protection of your mother and went to the forest. As a result of this, you have already achieved the topmost position. He says, please turn your attention to the Supreme Person. Prabhupada writes in the purport that Lord Manu wanted to change the vision of Dhruva Maharaj. And then Swambhuva Manu says, thus regaining your natural position. So when he's using the word regaining, that means he has lost. He says, thus regaining your natural position and rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of pleasure and who lives in all living entities, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and mine. And then Prabhupada writes a very amazing couple lines here. He says, Dhruva Maharaj was already a liberated person. And why was he a liberated person? Prabhupada says, because at the age of 5 years, he had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But, he says, even though liberated, he was, for the time being, afflicted by the illusion of Maya, thinking himself the brother of Uttama in the bodily concept of life. So further, Swambhuva Manu says, so please, follow my instructions. So he asked him to follow his instructions. One thing I was thinking when I was reading that, he said, even though he was liberated, things he did was not right. And I was specifically says, I was thought about that he was liberated because at the age of 5 years, he had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we know that from earlier as I was reading that Krishna was so pleased with a five-year-old boy. It just helps you to see what Krishna is like. He was so, let's say, intrigued or captured or whatever the word would be. Like Narada Muni was five, Prahlad was five, Dhruva was five. And he told him at five, okay, you're liberated. And he also said that at the time of death, you will remember me. How many devotees, I'm thinking, have given their lives you know, to Srila Prabhupada, how many devotees had given their youth, their young years, and would the Supreme Lord would have not been captured by that? Just recently, maybe 10 days ago or a week ago, I mean 2 weeks ago, Chetaguru Prabhu was at our place with Sonika Rishi Prabhu. For those who don't know Sonika Rishi, he's the very quiet devotee who works in the kitchen, and if you go online sometimes, a lot of times he's here during the puja. So both of them were at our place, and Chetaguru was telling us that how Sonika Rishi, you know, who doesn't speak English, so Chetaguru was telling us how he became a devotee. And he was saying that it was over 30 years ago, he told us. So I don't know, Chetaguru, he said himself that Chetaguru himself was a little kid. And they were fired up. This was in Dominican Republic, I think that's where it's from. So they were really fired up, going out in Sankirtan every day, and you know, he said, we just wanted to go back to Godhead. We just really wanted to go back to Godhead. And then this book by Krishna Balaram Swami, I don't, most of us have probably seen it during those years, for about Ekadashi. So that Ekadashi book came out and described about how to fall Ekadashi. So these young kids, and I'm assuming he must be less than 20. I didn't ask him. I was thinking about it later on because it was 30 years ago. I don't know how old is Chetaguru, but he was saying that, yeah, we're little kids, and when we read that, we were like, okay, we're going to follow Ekadashi. His whole thing was, we want to go back to Godhead, so we're going to follow Ekadashi, like full Ekadashi, fasting all day long, staying up all day long, and then going to Mangal Arati. And he said, and we thought, we're going to do it for 10 years. For some reason, he said 10 years. And I think, I don't know if you remember, did he say that he followed? I think he said he followed for 10 years. And that's what they did. They went on Harinam, and they went on a book distribution. And it was during that time that Sonika Rishi, so some other friend, dragged Sonika Rishi to come and see the devotees. And Sonika Rishi was not interested at that time. And somehow the other devotee kind of disappeared. We used to call them fringe devotees or whatever. And so he kind of disappeared, and Sonika Rishi actually joined. But I was thinking, wow, and I still want to go back to God. I still want to do it. And I was thinking, look at the devotee. I mean, how many Chetagurus there are there where like the determination to fast all day long, to stay up all night long, to do Harinam and to do book distribution. Yeah, they would do book distribution up till it was time for Mangal Arati. And I let you decide whether Krishna was pleased, or did he liberate them, or did he give them the benediction? Here Dhruva Maharaj was given the benediction. He was determined. He practiced for 6 months, and Krishna gave him the liberation for following the instructions of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. But yeah, here's a liberated person, Dhruva Maharaj, who is going, after he became liberated, he is going through this. Sanghu Manu comes, and Sanghu Manu says, okay, stop this, and you know, and then Prabhupada is right, even though liberated, he was for some time being afflicted by the illusion of Maya. So was there much difference? Yes. So and Dhruva Manu then told Dhruva Maharaj to stop fighting. And Dhruva Maharaj does stop fighting. A big difference between before he was, before he met the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when Narada Muni told him to stop your anger, he couldn't. But here it describes that Dhruva Maharaj's anger subsided, and he completely ceased killing the yakshas. This is the difference. He heard Swayam Dhruva Manu, and he stopped killing. Although he was the same kshatriya, He was overwhelmed with lamentation and anger, but he stopped. And Senhu Manu also told him to go and ask forgiveness from Kuvera, because Kuvera would not be pleased that all the yakshas were killed like that. And so at that stage, when Dhruva Maharaj's anger subsided, Kuvera comes, and it's very interesting what Kuvera says. He's another devotee. Sometimes we think about demigods, this, that, whatever. But you see the, what is that verse? Yasyasi bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvai guna tatra samasitasya sarvai guna. All the good qualities of the demigods comes to one who practices bhakti. So Kuvera, after he has killed the yakshas and everybody, you know what Kuvera says to Dhruva? He said, O sinless son. And then he says, I'm very glad to know that you have given up your enmity towards the yakshas. And then he says, we have heard that you're constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a devotee is reacting to a liberated soul. Then further describes later on that Dhruva Maharaj, the self-controlled great soul, passed many, many years favorably executing three kinds of worldly activities, namely religiosity, economic development, and satisfaction of all material desires. So Dhruva Maharaj, a liberated soul, we see what his life was, what his reaction was right after he saw what he was before, what his reaction was right after he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We see what his life was all throughout. He's passed many, many years executing worldly activities, namely religiosity, economic development, and satisfaction of all material desires. And then after he did that, he left home when it was the right time. He left home and he became totally absorbed in thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. And then we know later on, the Vishnu Dutas, Nanda and Sunanda, came. And they said to him, when they came to get him, they said, please attentively hear what we shall say. He says, when you were only 5 years old, you underwent severe austerity, and you thereby greatly satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They said, to achieve Vishnu Loka is very difficult, but by your austerity, you have conquered. Even the great rishis and demigods cannot achieve this position. So this is the life of a liberated soul, pre-liberated, liberated, after liberated, and when he leaves his body. I think it's very important, at least for me, I see that when I read the pastimes of the great Vaishnavas, which they are on such a high level, and there's so many past lives, and there's so many, how Prabhupada Govinda Prabhu might tell us, you know, Dhruva Maharaj was like this and this in his previous life and this and whatever. But just for me to hear from what Prabhupada is saying, what Maitreya Muni is saying, what Prabhupada says, elaborates in his purpose. I didn't even hear anything about what he's saying in his lectures, but just hearing from Prabhupada's purpose and the translations, I think it's important that we, although Dhruva Maharaj is there, or anybody else that his life that we hear, that we bring it closer to us. Because if we keep our acharyas over there, if we keep everything over there, then we're keeping them far away. But it's important that we bring them close to us by seeing into their lives what they're like and find encouragement, find some ways that some hope that Krishna has given us a process that's not that is unreachable. Why is Krishna so cruel to us that we can never reach what he has given to us? He has given us a perfect spiritual master. He has given us perfect sadhus around us. So we can also reach that. And we can see how these liberated souls, how they acted, and not think that, oh, we can never... No, look at that. There was some difficulty that he may have gone through because of his kshatriya tendencies. But he's still liberated. He's still sinless. Kuvera says he's sinless. Kuvera actually tells him, Manu says to him, that it's very interesting. Manu told Dhruva that, listen, the yakshas have not killed your brother Uttana. And Kuvera tells Dhruva that you did not kill the yakshas. I mean, what amazing thing to come out and say that you did not kill the yakshas. Yakshas are Kuvera's own people, but he's saying, no, you did not kill, so you're sinless. This is arranged by the Lord. So this is something that we can, it's Memorial Day, we remember our great people in our parampara for what they have done. Guru Maharaj has ruled our planet for 36,000 years, and we can remember him and get some encouragement, get some understanding what may be a liberated soul, what it may mean to a devotee's body changes from material to transcendence, what that may mean. So something for us to think about, reflect on the life of Dhruva Maharaj and other Vaishnavas. If you have any questions or comments or reflections, please you may do so now. Yes, Radha.
Wow, that was deep. I want to thank you for your thorough exploration of the topic and exemplifying for us and inspiring us to likewise approach such pastimes with more depth. It reminds me too of in the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna says, I don't know. How does he say? If one is even performs abominable actions,
yeah,
he's rightly situated. So this certainly applies, correct?
Yeah, I also thought about that actually verse when I was reading that.
Now it seems because Krishna was pleased with the austerities of Dhruva at that young age, and he said to him, he assured him, you will not forget me at the time of death? Is that
yes.
How he said it?
Yeah, he definitely said that, yeah.
It kind of sounds like, wow. Well, it's wonderful that one could consider that if there was ever a time in one's life that a devotee has pleased the spiritual master and Krishna likewise, then that that's their ticket. Despite what quote unquote Maya they may later be trapped by. Huh?
Well, Prabhupada said here that he was protected. Let me read you. He said, Dhruva Maharaj was saved from, although further he said that. Initially, he said, Swayamruva Manu immediately came to protect him from further sinful actions, Swayamruva Manu, when he came.
Yeah, okay.
And then Prabhupada says, Dhruva Maharaj was saved from such sinful action because he was a great devotee. So the aspect of what you're saying Api Chesudaracharo. Guru Maharaj was saved from such sinful action because he was a great devotee. Now he didn't say sinful reaction, he said saved from such sinful action. Although, so I was a little confused, but yes, it does seem to me, I mean, there may be other ways of looking at this whole pastime. I've just expressed what I have seen. And yes, it seems that way, that because he was a great devotee, and as I said a few times, Manu said, because you already got your ticket, you saw Krishna face to face. Nandanasananda said the same thing. Chirapapad is saying the same thing.
So then it seems that due to the attracting the Lord and pleasing the Lord will arrange someone to intervene to save that soul who may slip.
Yeah.
Right?
And and this is not theoretical. We have seen that in so many devotees' lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have seen that. We have seen that many times. Devotees who were lost or devotees who are not lost are still practicing. You know. Yeah.
Oftentimes that happens at the time of death.
Yes.
You see glorious departures.
From simple action? I have to see because I don't have the number, but I can give if you. If there's any other question, I'll try to see right now from my notes here. But maybe I can give them later on. I think if they just Google this sentence or put that on the database, Dhruva Maharaj was saved from such sinful action because he was a great devotee. If you just put that in Google, because it might take me some time to find that. Just copied and pasted on my notes.
So I'm thinking, because recently I was trying to do this research of when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, daily sadhana, also we have our spiritual insight, you know, we reflect our realization. What is actually happening? So, according to Rupa Goswami Pad, that our consciousness is spiritualizing. When our consciousness is spiritualized, then we can realize the indestructibility of spiritual reality, that Krishna is eternal, I am eternal, our relationship is eternal. And then when it further grows, it connects with Krishna, where actually we become, we burn our prarabdha karma. That was the key point, where this body is here in the material world, in Alachua, but it will not create any sin. So then trying to word it, but so many things, like even there's just so many gradation. I want to have some feedback from you, like what you did you think, or anybody in the temple. Like the gopis, sadhan siddha gopis, I have those verses, maya kalpita tadrikasti silanena anusuya vi na jatu brajadevi vinam pativi saha sangama. Rupa Goswami Pad says that at the last moment when they cried and cried, they had a little vestige of the some piety of the material world. And they found themselves, there's a beautiful girl next to her, just look like her, and then was like shocked. So they dropped their sadhan body, and they, with that body, they saw the door is open, everything is clear. That was called Vastu Siddhi. where Krishna accepted them, and from that point, they never saw anything material connection. So that's very, of course, sadhana siddha to vastu siddha. Dhruva Maharaj, I mean, sorry, Narad Muni, as you are reading, Narad Muni exactly took that also step. So previously Narad Muni was spiritualized, his body was spiritualized. But was it Satchidananda? That's the question. There's a fine line. There's the Satchidananda and spiritualized. In one sense, both look same. Like Nagaraj Prabhu mentioned, like the marble on the floor and the deity of the deity's the body also made of the marble. Now that is Satchidananda, but this is not necessarily Satchidananda, this is just a pure soft. So there is a fine line. There's a fine line between spiritualized versus Satchidananda. So Narad Muni got Satchidananda, that has no fear, nothing to do with this time or place or anything. But spiritual life has a many formation, it looks like. One is like in Jarabharata Maharaj's case, is that aprarabdha, that janma, bija, puta, these things are destroyed, the seed for future. Even the example is given that a hunter has a quiver in the back and he has so many arrows. But the arrow, and also he had one arrow in his hand and he shot. But once that arrow is out of his hand, how much control he has? Not much. That is prarabdha karma, that this body we are born with, that arrow, that we must go through the experience according to Bhakti Rupa Goswami Pad, sloka number 4 in Namastaka. He explains this. And Bhakti Thakur wrote a whole song because of this. That how exactly this transformation is taking place. You know, my mind was like going a few days, like trying to research this, like how exactly our spiritualized body.
What bhajan is that? What bhajan is that Bhakti Thakur writes about this prarabdha karma?
This verse is like giving the whole transformation how conditioned soul become like a Satchidananda body back, like a whole transformation. So beautiful, like an overwhelming.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Well, point to this, that Dhruva Maharaj is the only question that he did not change his body. He went in the same body to a spiritual world. So then I found Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur write, well, his prarabdha karma was destroyed. So prarabdha karma causes us to suffer, also creates more karma or sin or other things, bad things. So prarabdha karma was dissolved. So this body has nothing to do with the material or spiritual. It is just this, and it transforms automatically to spiritual. It was a rare case, not everybody. You know anybody else? Vallabhacharya, he went under the Jamuna Devi and disappeared. That's how his body disappeared. Rasikananda Prabhu turning to flower. I'm just trying to see that how this body transformed the Satchidananda body is very fascinating.
Yeah, Narottam Das turned into milk, yeah? Or just...
Wait, there is a question maybe. Yeah. This is from Mother Nandini Kishori. Oh, actually I got few more. In this verse, the word Atirosena means with unnecessary anger. Dhruva Maharaj was saved from such sinful action because he was a great believer. Oh, it's a 4.11.7.
Oh, okay. 4:11:7, whoever was asking.
And there are a few you can just read.
Do I click on it?
Yeah.
Srimad Bhagavatam is so instructive to the most minute detail of our emotions, consciousness, actions, and realizations. The breadth of that concept is mesmerizing. Thank you for the wonderful class on displays of action. So many displays of action and emotion are not what they appear to be to us until we investigate more deeply. Okay, Bhagwati. In the end of the Apiche, this is Bhagwati Mataji, in the end of the Apiche Sudaracharo verse, Srila Prabhupada says, no one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think he's still a great devotee. Just another angle warning us. Okay. Thank you very much. All goes to Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you, Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, that's when we are remembering Guru Maharaj. Krishna Balaram's tenure. Oh, that's right.
It's Krishna Balaram's 10 years.
Correct?
10 years, yeah.
10 years anniversary.
10 years installation anniversary. Jai! And if everybody can actually see Krishna Balaram carefully and see, you can find few peacocks. They're not the ordinary peacocks. They're just amazing peacocks. So at least I found 3 of them. Maybe there are 4.
You know, I have a last comment. When I came many years back, Shesha Prabhu gave a class. In one of his class, he says when he was in temple somewhere, I forgot, but he said the mood was that they are going back to God. Like, soon they will go back to God. Was like a mood. Sheshapur. He mentioned in the class, many years back when we joined like a group together.
And who was going back to God?
They are all.
You were going back.